Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, that the kingdom of heaven would be built up here in this place. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's been a difficult week. Really difficult for a lot of people for various reasons, especially in the public square with the events of the day. And the truth is uncomfortable, but we need to be honest about it, and we need to talk about it as a people of God and as people in general. And the truth is that our nation is at war. It's not necessarily with any other nation or even with itself. And at war may not even be the most precise term, in part because it makes the situation sound like the United States is an actor with some agency in the conflict. Even in the case of civil war, which thanks be to God, that's not where we find ourselves today, there is a rightful, legitimate governance combating illegitimate and usually abusive power. Our situation is different, but we are at war. The U.S. has no true agency in this conflict, and no military is capable of defeating this enemy. We are caught in a battle that has been waged ever since Satan was cast down out of heaven for rebelling against God. Our fight is not against a flesh and blood enemy, as St. Paul wrote to the Ephesians. Rather, we as Christians wrestle against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That is our fight. The headlines, which inform us on recent events and remind us of events which took place 2.5 decades ago. These are symptoms and signs which point to a much longer, much deeper struggle. In case you're confused, this fight isn't red versus blue, right versus left, black versus white, any other kind of dichotomy you could come up with. And neither side in any of these lists of pairs has a monopoly on righteousness or sin. It's a fight against evil. It is literally the fight of good and evil. And so this past week we are reminded of the day 24 years ago when 19 men with evil intentions brought down 4 planes, 3 buildings, damaged another, and shook a nation to its core. In what seems like a distant memory to many of us, and for some of us in this room, it's only history that they've read about in a book somewhere, because they're too young to have been alive when it happened. And the reminders of this are interspersed with other tragic news this week and in the weeks previous. A shooting at a Catholic mass in Minneapolis. An influential figure gunned down at a college campus in Utah. All while the video of a stabbing victim here in Charlotte spreads nationally. And I could go on and on. You probably know the headlines better than I do, and there's stories that you know of that I've yet to hear. It's been a tough week. And I'm not sure how each of you feels today in the wake of such headlines and such evil that we see. No doubt there's a mixture of confusion, anger, doubt, fear. All of these are normal human responses to trauma. And I want to encourage you today that if these feelings that you have, whatever they may be, are too big, if you're unsure of what to do with them, if you need help processing them, please reach out to someone, whether it's a counselor or a friend, to me, to Pastor Steve. Talk. Because when we stop talking, that's when bad things happen. Get help bearing this burden. You don't have to bear it alone. And in the midst of these feelings and thoughts, we turn to God's Word as the people of God, and we look to our texts for today. And if we look at Paul's first letter to Timothy, I feel like our questions, our fears, and even our doubts are answered in the knowledge of who God is. And I think there are three very key, important attributes to God's character which answer the headlines of today. And they're the title for my sermon. So God is powerful, merciful, and purposeful. God is powerful. The bookends of our text in Timothy make that loud and clear. Yahweh, the Lord, is the King of ages. He is the only God. And to Him all honor and glory is to be ascribed forever and ever. Amen. That's a true statement that Paul lays out for Timothy. And as sovereign over all creation, He has not only the prerogative but the capability to lay down the law, to tell us what is right and what is wrong, and to enforce it, to judge those who transgress it. Make no mistake, God's justice is sure, even when we don't see it, even when it doesn't come when we think it might. And in our text today, Paul gives us a list of the various sins which God judges. And if you'll notice, they cover nearly the entirety of the Ten Commandments in order. Here again, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners. Well, there's the first commandment right there. For the unholy and the profane. There's commandments 2 and 3. For those who strike their fathers and mothers. The fourth. For murderers. The fifth. The sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, the sixth. Enslavers, there's the seventh. Liars and perjurers, that's the eighth. And though he doesn't explicitly state 9 and 10, do not covet anything if you do the whole list, Paul gives us this catch-all. And whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, if you thought you could escape, it's covered. Against these, the wrath of God has come and is coming. Against these, the law is preached in its fullest severity with the assurance that God will not allow the wicked to prosper indefinitely. God will judge sin, and He has. Now, this may sound comforting on the surface if we think about awaiting the day when our adversaries will get their comeuppance. That is, until we examine our own lives and realize the magnitude of the disobedience within our own hearts, the profanity which passes our lips, the anger we harbor against our neighbor, the ills we wish upon those who have done us wrong, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. Against these two, the wrath of God has come. And if God were only powerful, it would be a holy terror for us sinful human creatures to contemplate His will. Yet, thanks be to God that our God is both powerful and merciful. God chooses, He desires to exercise the greatness of His power in love and mercy for His fallen human creatures. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, not to judge them. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Jesus came to be the good shepherd who seeks after all of the lost, the broken and the helpless sheep. Christ is both the teller of His parable and its fulfillment. He's the one that's come out to look for the lost sheep, the lost coin. Christ is the author of Ezekiel's prophecy, and He is the realization thereof. You know, Paul was able to write so much about the mercy of God here in this letter to Timothy and all of the other writings which he wrote to the various churches and people that he wrote to. Because Paul was a recipient of God's mercy. Paul knew what it was like to receive mercy. Having encountered the risen Lord on the road to Damascus, having searched the Scriptures diligently, having his eyes opened by the gift of faith, Saul of Tarsus repented of his blasphemy, his persecution, his insolence against God, and took up his cross of humility and confession and proclamation of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins and the reception of eternal life. Paul, the foremost of sinners, he calls himself. Paul, this same Paul, was once by his deeds no better than any of the other perpetrators of evil that we read about today. That is where Paul puts himself in his works and his deeds. Yet Paul also says that God's mercy overflows for him. That Jesus Christ came for him to save him from death and eternal condemnation. That mercy is available to him and to you. You see, the gift of faith that was given Paul was not random. It wasn't accidental. It was purposeful. Because our God is purposeful. And his intent is to seek out the lost. Mercy has a purpose. Paul's words to Timothy were how Jesus had shown him the fullness of his patience in order that others too would see grace and mercy as available to them. Because if it's available to Paul, the foremost of sinners, then there is nothing you can do that doesn't allow you to receive the mercy of God other than to refuse it. God's mercy is available to you, to everyone. He just asks us to take him at his word. And if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and was raised to life by the power of God, then you too have eternal life. You too have sins forgiven. You too have an example of Paul, who spent the remainder of his life after that Damascus Road encounter telling people about the mercy which he had received. You see, we have a purpose as the church. It's why we come together here in this place to worship God and receive his benefits. It's why we go to Concordia seminaries and other institutions of the Concordia system to be trained to do church work and other vocations out in the public square with the mercy and love of God. It's why we raise families in the faith. It's why we baptize our children, because we want them to know God's mercy. We want them to live that mercy out, and we want to go and tell a desperate, dying world that there is life and salvation. There is forgiveness. There is a way out of all of the fear and doubt and terror that we put on ourselves, and that is Jesus Christ. And so we do that each and every day that the Lord gives us until he calls us home. And that is the promise that we have from a powerful, merciful, purposeful God, that on that day, that last day, or the day that he calls us home, there's grace, there's forgiveness, there's eternal life and salvation in his presence, where all things are good. All wrongs are righted, and we will spend eternity in his blessed presence, praising him and thanking him for all that he has done for us. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds until that day, in Christ Jesus our Lord and Savior. Amen.